Well, currently we're on a series here at Bayside going through our mission. And if you look back here, we have this big sign here that kind of helps us visualize what our mission is. And I'm just going to bring it up here to the forefront for us to see. And in the mission here at Bayside, we kind of have two areas, making disciples and loving the least of these. And so Pastor Mark has done some messages here in September and October. He talked through making disciples and what that looked like in all these different areas here at our church. And now we are going through loving the least of these. And that's the second half of our mission here at Bayside. Last week, Pastor Mark talked about the first kind of arm of that loving the least of these, and that is providing practical help. And so there's these boxes here around the center, which is the cross. And of all these things, we're keeping the cross at the center of everything we do here at Bayside. But these three boxes that we talked about last week were food shelf, education, and children. And Pastor Mark shared on these, the food shelf and what our vision for that is. And our vision is to start a garden here at Bayside. And so we're very excited about that. And there'll be opportunity for you to get involved. Actually, later this morning, you'll be able to kind of show how you want to be involved with that if you weren't here last week. Second area is with education. This is looking at like life skills training, helping people to come up with a resume or helping people to learn how to interview or just any type of life skills training that we can do to help people here in our community and our church. And then the third area, and also with education, is also tutoring, looking at tutoring and having a tutoring program here at the church. The third area is with children, and the big vision for this would be to start a daycare. A daycare that is affordable, that can be something that we can have a daycare for our community, that can reach people, reach young kids and families for Jesus and in the name of Jesus. And so these were the three areas of providing practical help, these three green boxes. This morning, we're going to move to kind of the next arm of loving the least of these. And we're going to talk about these red boxes that are going to be here, and I'll go through those during the sermon here this morning. But the big thing that Mark preached about and talked about last week was is asking God to give us his eyes, to see people as God sees people. And at the end of the sermon last week, if you were here, Mark asked to just ask God to give you his eyes. So this morning, I want to ask you, and if you were here last week, and did you spend the last week praying, did you ask God to give you his eyes? Did you see people as God sees people? And I'm going to share a story this morning about what my week was like, and I certainly experienced this firsthand. As last week, actually 2 weeks ago, Mark had asked me to preach this morning, and last week after the sermon, started praying about how I would continue this message, because really we feel like our mission has been one message that we've brought about throughout these several weeks. And how would I continue this message that Mark started last week in talking about loving the least of these? And so I began to pray. And on Monday morning, I continued to pray and study and go through some scriptures. And then Monday afternoon, Pastor Mark and I met. And God bless Mark. He's a great leader and a great friend and a great pastor. And he, as we were meeting and talking about this sermon and putting it together, he said, "Tom, I'm going to pray that this sermon becomes personal for you." And we prayed about that. And when he first said that, I thought of the areas that were obvious to me as I looked at the things that I was going to be preaching about. And I had one thing in mind that I thought might become personal for me. But little did I know what God was going to do this week. And so just think, as you're hearing the message this morning, how can you pray and ask God to give you his eyes? And are you seeing people as God sees people? Today, in the second section of Loving the Least of These, we're going to talk about healing. Bringing healing to the hurting. Bringing healing to the hurting. Clearly, during his life on earth, Jesus healed many, many people. Often we think of healing. When we think of healing, we think exclusively physical healing. We think physical healing, and when we think of Jesus, we think of the miracles that he performed in physically healing people. But the ultimate healing is what Jesus did for us, spiritual healing. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You see, healing can be a physical thing, but healing spiritually is talking about the healing that happens in our lives when we give up our life, when we ask and seek forgiveness for our sins, and with what Christ did when he bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we could die to sin and live by righteousness. And by his wounds, by his death, we are healed. We are healed. We are healed. Have you been healed of your spiritual need for healing? When studying the word heal, I just started by looking in the dictionary. And so some synonyms of heal and from the dictionary are to restore, to reconcile, to cleanse, to soothe, to purify. I looked up the Greek, and the Greek means to cure, to make whole, to free from error or sin. The Greek word from this 1 Peter 2:24 passage means to cure, to make whole, to free from error or sin. And Pastor Mark and I, as we prepared this and put this together, kind of came up with a little definition of healing as it pertains to our mission here at Bayside Baptist Church. And whether you're a member, a regular attender, or a first-time visitor here today, we hope that this can apply and be something that you can take on in your life too. And our definition of healing is this: the supernatural work of God to bring spiritual, emotional, relational, or physical health and wholeness. And you can write that down. We have it up here on the screens. And if you want to pull out, if you haven't already, there are notes in your bulletin, this blue sheet. And there's a spot there where you can write out that definition and continue to follow along with the blanks as well as the scripture that we'll be going over this morning. Healing is the supernatural work of God to bring spiritual, emotional, relational, or physical health and wholeness. Again, we often focus on physical healing, our physical ailments, but God certainly focuses first on our spiritual need for healing. God can and does heal in every way. I believe with all my heart that God heals physically when we have physical issues. But I do believe in a God that heals our spiritual issues. Our job as a church and as people is to love, to support, and to pray for those who need healing. God does the healing, but we can be his agents in that healing as a body of Christ, as a church here at Bayside. And that is what we want to do within this realm of loving the least of these. A few verses that I came across when I was praying and preparing, and as Pastor Mark and I went over this, this message this morning on healing. The first is from Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And this is actually what was a verse that was quoted, that Peter was quoting in 1 Peter 2:24. And Isaiah 53 and 4 or 5 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." This is the prophet Isaiah speaking about Jesus Christ long before Christ ever came. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed." Can you really grasp what Christ did? All of us, at one point or another in our lives, have needed healing. And maybe you need healing today, whether it be physical healing or spiritual healing. Christ can heal you. He already did what he needed to do to heal you. You have to come to him. Put your faith in him. He will heal you. By his wounds, we are healed. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, put it this way: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases. Forgiveness and healing. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You see how God has a heart for healing. In Luke chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus sent out the disciples, and they, the disciples, departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This, my friends, is what we call gospel-centered social justice. You see, Christ cared about social justice, and we as a church need to care about social justice. But this is why here at Bayside, we have this cross in the center of loving the least of these. Because the cross is the center of our social justice. Gospel-centered social justice. You see, in this verse, in Luke chapter 9, verse 6, it says, he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. The disciples were sent to tell people about Jesus and to heal. See, first tell them about Jesus and then to heal them. Because Christ knew that the more important healing that the people in that day needed was spiritual healing. And that their physical ailments were secondary, were absolutely secondary to their spiritual need for healing. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Prayer is a huge key here. Prayer is such a huge thing, and as a church, this is one of the major ways that we can be involved with healing, is by prayer. As a church, we can come together to love, to support, and to pray for those that need healing. We have three areas where, as a church, we will make it our mission to be a place of healing. Any and all of these could also fall into our one-on-one ministry or small group and support ministries that are under the Making Disciples section of our mission. All of these could fall right into small groups or one-on-one mentoring, these areas, because they come out in these different groups that we might be able to have here at Bayside as we look at our vision. And so we were going to focus on these three areas and just be able to kind of highlight them and give you an idea of what we're looking at here as a church and how we can be a church that's a church of healing, a church that reaches the least of these in the name of Jesus Christ to heal those who need healing. So the first area of these three areas of healing is grieving. Grieving. Grieving is a wide range of area, but mostly we're looking at grieving because of death. This can include, but is not limited to, widows, widowers, and even divorce. As you look at divorce as the death of a marriage. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You see, we've had a long-standing widows ministry here at Bayside. We're building on that for the future. And so part of this vision is that we're starting on Monday, November 5th, a new widows support group. Not a new one, but a new kind of transformed widow support group that we're beginning on Monday, November 5th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. A widow support group. The ministry area of grieving could also include widowers, people in general grief, or divorce care. And if you didn't know, we also have a current ministry for divorce care on Wednesday nights here at Bayside. And so we have some things in place here to reach those who are grieving. But we as a church have a vision to continue to mold and to shape what it looks like to reach those who need healing in the area of grieving. Again, James said, pure religion is to care for widows, to care for them. The verse actually says to visit orphans and widows. And we're going to talk about orphans actually next week. Pastor Mark is going to talk about that when we get into the blue boxes there on that side of the least of these as part of our mission. but here talking about widows, the verse says to visit. Think about that for a second. To visit, to go to them, to go to them. It means we go to those who are the least of these. We need to go to them. When was the last time you went to someone who was in need? Often when someone's in need, they come to us, whether it's us individually or here, us at the church. They come to us. But how often do we go to them? Think about that for a second. It's a challenge. Because going to them means that you have to sacrifice yourself. You have to sacrifice your time. You have to sacrifice your resources, sometimes your money, sometimes your energy. Think about it. How often do we go to them? How often do we go? And so as I continued to pray and as Mark had prayed for me that this would become personal, I spent the night, Monday night, praying over these verses and over all of this preparation that Mark and I had done. And Tuesday morning, I woke up and I came to church early. And I was here before the office opens, and I was praying and studying and looking at last week's message and listening to that, what Pastor Mark shared, and looking at what I was going to share this week. And I came across, again, that verse that Mark shared last week. And if you weren't here last week, I strongly encourage you to go and to listen to that message. It's on our website. We have CDs at the Welcome Center, and so you can listen to that first part of this series on loving the least of these. And I went over that verse in Matthew where Jesus talks about getting him something to eat, getting him clothes, getting him a drink of water. And I was praying over these things, and the phone rang. And I didn't answer it because it wasn't 9 o'clock yet. The office here at the church wasn't open yet. We open at 9 o'clock. We're open from 9 to 4:30. And so if you call at 8:45, somebody might be here, but they might not be answering the phone. I was studying. I really was trying to study this and get at it. And I'm not saying that if you ever call, you're not important. But I was studying. And really, again, it was selfish that I just wanted to study and get this praying and get right to the meat of this message. And the phone rang again. And I didn't answer it. And I continued to pray and to study. And I prayed the same thing that Mark was praying for me, that God would make this real. God would bring this out in my life. And at 9 o'clock, well, maybe 9:02, the phone rang again. And I don't know if it was the same person calling every time. Maybe you were calling at 8:50 wondering when we were going to answer the phone. I don't know. But I answered the phone at 9:02 because that is my job. Once the phone, 9 o'clock, okay, I got to answer the phone. It was my duty to now answer the phone. And there were other people that were going to be coming into the building. I'm not the only one that answers the phone. Thank God that I'm not the only one that has to answer the phone. So I answered the phone. And it was this guy on the other line, and he said he needed help. And he wondered if we had any help for people who are elderly, who are seniors. And I asked him some questions. We started this conversation. And I told him how we can help. And if you're not familiar, we get calls like this all the time here at Bayside. We get calls throughout the week, and if you talk to Ruth or Debbie or Mark or any one of our wonderful ladies who answer the phones here at the church, or if you've been in the office, you've seen and know that people call and people come all week long. And so I started talking to this guy, and so I told him, well, here's what we can do. This is what we can do. And we have, if you didn't know, we have a kind of a process in place. We have a benevolence fund, and our deacons and Pastor Mark kind of oversee that fund. We collect money for that fund at the first of the month, first Sunday of the month. And to this fund, you can put money in. And all that money is given strictly to people who have needs. It's called a benevolence fund. And so the deacons pray over these needs. And we have a benevolence request form. And you can fill that out. And you hand in that application. And the deacons look over those, pray over those. And then they give money towards those depending on how much money we have, what kind of need is there. That's something that you can take advantage of here at Bayside. If you ever have a need, this is just a side thing. If you ever have a need, please let us know, and you can fill out that form, and the deacons will pray over that and look at that. And so I'm telling him this, and he was in a situation where that wasn't going to help. The next deacon meeting was the next Thursday, and we usually don't give out money quickly, which we do that intentionally. And so I was talking to him, and you know, I was realizing there probably wasn't a whole lot I could do to help this guy. And really, I was just kind of wanting to get off the phone and get back to studying this message. I'm just being honest with you. And we say no to a lot of people all the time here at Bayside. I've said no to several people who've called and asked for help. I've said no, and I don't think anything twice about it. Sometimes I'll hang up and I'll pray for them, and I'll say, God, I pray that you would provide something for them. But we can't help every single person. It's not feasible. And that's kind of what my attitude and my heart was at this moment. I'm just trying to get off the phone and get to the, at least either get off the phone or get to the real need that this guy had. And then he hit me with it. He said, you know what? You know what, Tom? What I really need is I just need somebody to come down here, maybe buy me a cup of coffee and just talk. And I realized that this guy was crying out. And he had a lot of issues. He needed healing in many areas, physically, emotionally, and certainly spiritually. I could tell he needed healing. And when he said, I just need somebody to get me a cup, a coffee, and to talk to me, something just hit me in my heart. That verse came back to me that Jesus said, I needed a cup of water. And so at that moment, I knew I needed to do something. I needed to go. And though I had this sermon to prepare, and we had a staff meeting that day, and I had all sorts of other things I was preparing for and planning for, youth group on Wednesday night, youth group tonight, all these things that I have going on in my life, I knew that I had to go and do anything I could to see if we could help this guy find healing. And he certainly was one of the least of these. Certainly. There are only some ways that our church can and will seek healing. These are only some of the ways that our church can and will seek healing for those who are grieving and broken and need rescue. Grieving is that first area. Don't worry, I'm going to continue the story. I'm going to move on to the next section. Which is broken. The second arm of this ministry is going to be to reach and to heal those who are broken. People who have been abused, beaten down, broken, and hurt. This could entail many different things. It could be physical abuse. It could be sexual abuse. It could be emotional abuse. And we hope and pray that we could provide biblically based support groups, small groups, that'll reach the people who are struggling through abuse, whether it be physical or sexual or emotional abuse, or people who are beaten down or broken. You see, people are broken all over. There are broken people here this morning, I believe with all of my heart, and I know that maybe you're sitting there today and you are broken. Are you broken? Have you been broken? As a church, it is our mission to love, to support, and pray for the broken. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The Spirit of the Lord can be here and can be a place, can be in this place and make this a place of healing for people who are broken. There's a lot of statistics about abuse, and I looked through and studied a lot of that, and there's statistics about physical abuse and sexual abuse and emotional abuse. And the fact is that there's probably people in here today who have been abused who are being abused. And if that's you, we're praying for you, and we want to help you find healing. And this is a ministry that we believe is very vital and important to the life of our church and the life of our community. Many suffer from all types of abuse, But brokenness isn't limited to abuse. And if you're broken today, we have a heart for you and for this ministry. And so we have a vision for that, and we pray that maybe you could be a part of that as we move forward as a church, striving to reach the broken, the abused, the beaten, and the hurting, to find them healing. The third area is rescue. We talk about grieving, we talked about broken, and now the third area is rescue. Rescuing people who are in dangerous situations or who are in bondage. People in bondage. When we think about this, we look at just in our community, the city of Superior, Tower Avenue. How many bars are on Tower Avenue? I don't know, but there's a lot. The alcoholics on Tower Avenue. Prostitution on Tower Avenue. Drugs in this city. There's so many different areas where people need rescue in this town and where people in this community and in this body of Christ need rescue. One area that we've had in the past was a Celebrate Recovery ministry, and we certainly could have that ministry again. The church needs to be ready to rescue people who are in dangerous situations or who are in bondage. Ezekiel 34:27 says this, "And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them." Galatians 1:4 is talking about Jesus Christ in verse 3 and then says, "Christ who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father." Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." And 2 Timothy 4:18, I believe a victory verse for those who need rescue. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Do you hear the theme of these verses? Do you sense the theme that God has given in his Bible, in his word? Deliverance, redemption, reconciliation, rescue. Rescue. As a church, it is our mission to be a rescue to those who need deliverance and redemption and rescuing. See, this guy that I talked to on Tuesday morning, he needed to be rescued. And I don't know if I had the ability or the resources to really rescue him, but I knew that God was sending me to go. And so I went, and I looked at the resources that I had. I didn't have cash on hand, so I couldn't just buy him out of his situation. He was out of gas, and he was in a parking lot on Tower Avenue, and he needed help. He was hungry. He hadn't eaten. He was homeless. And without gas in a vehicle, and you're living in a vehicle, you can't go very far. And so, thankfully, the day before, my wife had made a wonderful pot of chili, and I brought a big Tupperware bowl full of chili to work that day to eat for lunch. So instead of eating my chili, I heated it up in that bowl, and I put it in a bag, and I brought my cornbread with me. And I had talked to Pastor Mark, and we found that we had some gas left over in the garage from lawn mowing season. And so we grabbed that, and we thought we could just put a little bit of gas in his car, give this guy something warm to eat, and just talk to him, listen to him, give him an opportunity to share what's going on in his life, maybe bring him some spiritual healing, or at least share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ so he could see what he truly needed, because he needed more than gas, and he needed more than food. He needed spiritual healing. And so I got in my car, and I put all the stuff together, and I drove down to Tower Avenue. And as I pulled into the alley that he was parked in, there was a police car there. And I pulled up, and I parked next to the police car, and I'm, okay, it doesn't mean anything. I just got out of the car, and I walked up to where I could see his vehicle that he described to me, and I could see that someone was living in this vehicle, just the obvious evidence of that. And there was a lot of people right next to it, just kind of in a patio area in this business, in this parking lot. A lot of people sitting around smoking and talking, and you could just sense that there was a lot of spiritual need there. And so I prayed, and I just walked up to them. And as I was walking up, the police officer pulled away. And I asked if anyone knew this guy who had called, my friend, and no one knew who I was talking about. And I said, well, do you know who the owner of this van is? Oh, we know that guy. Oh, that guy. And they told me about him. And they told me that he had just been arrested. And that the police had just taken him in. There was two officers there, and one had already taken him in. And that other officer that was just leaving was probably processing things, and then he left. And so I finished talking to these folks, asked them a little bit more about him, tried to get a little bit more knowledge about this guy. And I went back to my car, and I drove back to church with a bowl full of chili, a plate full of cornbread, and a tank full of gas. And it hurt. I felt bad. I felt guilty that I didn't make it there in time. I was frustrated, and it hurt. I felt sorry. I came back, and I talked to Mark, and I talked to Debbie and Ruth, and we talked about it. And as we continued to talk about it, as I prayed about it, it became evident that loving the least of these, it isn't perfect. It isn't fun. It doesn't always turn out the way you expect it. And it doesn't always work. You don't always get to help every single one who needs help. You don't always get to heal every single one who needs healing. But what I learned on Tuesday was that when God asked me to go and to love the least of these, was I willing to go? Today, as a church, we have to be willing to go. It doesn't mean we're going to save every person in this town. It doesn't mean that every person in this town is going to be healed. Because you want to know what? We can go and we can do everything we can to help, love, and support, and pray for the least of these. But they have to make the decision to give their life to Christ. It's in their hands. We do what we can to love and to support and to pray for them. But they have to make that decision. And that day, that gentleman that I had talked to made some poor decisions, and whatever it was led to him being arrested. And it was his decision. I took peace in that, and I'm not blaming it back on him. But I just took peace in that to know that when God had called me and asked me to go, was I willing to go? And so today, are you willing to go? Are you willing to love the least of these? It's not always pretty. It's not always clean. It took a lot of my time. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but I'll just tell you this. It didn't end on Tuesday, because the rest of the week, I continued to try and to attempt to help this fellow. He got out of prison and went to the hospital and then was back on the streets. And I talked to him several times throughout the rest of the week and prayed for him and did everything I could and spent all this time. It takes time to love the least of these. It takes sacrifice. It takes our resources. But are we willing to go when God calls us? So the question is, how can you get involved here at Bayside? We've got these cards in your bulletin, and you can pull out in your bulletin. If you were here last week, you're going to be familiar with this. If you weren't here, though, let me explain how these work. This is just so that we can come together as a church body and grasp together this vision of loving the least of these. And so there's these cards in your bulletin. As you pull this out, you can write your name and information on there, and you're able to, when you're done filling this out, you can give it to myself or a staff member, put it in the connection card boxes on your way out of the sanctuary this morning. Just get it to us. Leave it in the office, whatever you got to do. There's a couple boxes here. The green box is the box that Mark talked about last week. This is food shelf, education, and children, okay? If you're interested in helping in one of those areas, if you weren't here last week and you didn't hear the message, I encourage you again to go back and listen to that message. And then if you want to help out in one of those areas, you can just check there. Or in multiple areas, it doesn't matter. You can check as many boxes as you want here this morning, okay? And then if you want to help out in one of those areas, let us know. And then there's three areas where you can help in each of these areas: planning, program, and praying. And so let us know how you want to be involved in that. And then this morning, there's a new box there. So if you were here last week and you feel led to help out with the areas that we talked about this morning, you can mark that on here. You don't need to worry about what you already filled out. We already have your information if you filled one of these out already. But you can let us know on this red box if you were interested in being a part of our grieving or broken or rescue ministries. And see, the three areas that you would let us know that you want to be a part of are planning, program, or praying. And what we talked about, Pastor Mark mentioned last week, the planning is just kind of getting together and putting the resources together. The program is actually going out and doing it. And then the praying is just being on the sidelines praying for these different ministries. And so we encourage you, if you haven't filled one of these out yet, please do so this morning. Let us know how you could be involved with these ministries of loving the least of these. And if you did fill one of these out last week and you feel led to help out in one of these new areas in the red box, go ahead and fill that area out and put that in the boxes this morning. That's how you can help out. If you have more questions about this little card, certainly come and talk to myself or stop by the church office this week and we can get you more information. This is something that as a church, we feel that we need to do and we need to come together as a body of Christ to reach the least of these, to reach those who are grieving, who are broken, or who need rescue. Again, I was challenged this week. I want you to know it was not easy for me to take this on. And in some senses, I make fun of Mark because he's the one who prayed that this would become personal for me. And he, in his messages, a lot of the time, will share personal stories about how things have affected him as he preaches. And I certainly experienced that this week. Because as I was putting together this sermon and as I was working hard to do everything that God has called me to do, as a pastor here at Bayside, as a father, and as a husband, God asked me to do something as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as disciples, he asks us to go. We have to be willing. Are you willing to go and reach those who need healing? And reach those who are the least of these. Are you willing? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. You are a great and awesome, mighty God. I praise you for who you are, for what you've done, and for how you've healed us. Lord, thank you for healing us spiritually.